on Static on 2SER, it is so fantastic to say a big g'day to Dave and Steph from Soulwax joining us from Ghent. How are you guys?
Good, good. How are you?
I'm doing really good. It's been a long time since we've spoken, Dave. 19 years ago when you were in Australia for the big day out.
Wow,
that's a long...
We were only 13 then, so that's...
You don't look any older, you guys.
Oh, thanks. Thanks.
Thank you. Thanks.
It is awesome to have a new Soulwax album from you guys in the shape of All Systems Align, and your first album in 7 years since The Essential Set in 2018. So it's so good to have this record with us, Dave and Steph. And of course, you were here earlier in the year. Did you sneakily drop some of this album into your Too Many DJs set in Sydney here back in March?
No, we didn't actually. I am baffled. I don't understand why we didn't.
Because we're idiots.
Maybe. Yeah, yeah, you're right. It's the kind of thing we would have done, but I don't know why we didn't.
Actually, we finished the record before we left for Australia. Because I remember we were waiting for the mastering to come in.
Okay.
And so we were waiting for mastering. So no, we didn't.
I would have thought that's what you would have been itching to do for sure. You know, seeing if it's stacked up next to Dead or Alive, she'd spin me around like a record.
Which we did play.
Which we did.
I know. Well, maybe it was some subconscious thing, you know, the record was finally done. So you wanted to go to the other side of the world and forget about it for a bit.
Exactly. That might have been the reasoning. And you have to understand that after having spent years in the studio on a daily basis, working on a million projects at the same time, that particular trip earlier in the year was the first time, at least in 5 years, where
it was almost like a beautiful
Beautiful oasis in our lives where we got to spend time
not having to think about
with our friends and with ourselves.
It was amazing. It was just amazing. The venue was so cool, and then we came in and we were like, oh damn, we have to be really good here. And yeah, I wish we could come to Australia every year.
Yeah, it was good to have you back here. That was a bunch of fun, that show. And having Soulwax return after 7 years into these dystopian times with an album called All Systems Are Lying, it's an interesting title, Dave and Steph. It suggests a suspicion of our reality and that distortion of truth by modern technologies like algorithms and filters. And it feels like almost to combat that, this is a very song-based and human-involved record that you've created.
Oh, wow, yeah, that's a good take on it.
A really good take on it.
But it wasn't necessarily our intention to say like, oh, let's make a political record, as opposed to so much of our other work that's not just Soulwax, whether it's producing other people or remixing or working for fashion shows or film or theater, all that stuff. We do so many projects at the same time, but they tend to have in common that we work with or for other people in trying to execute a vision. And so with this album in particular, what we wanted to do is we wanted to be free of all that and see
what comes out of us intuitively. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, what does our instinct bring up in us? And in a way, it's sort of like an antenna a little bit. A lot of what came out lyrically, sometimes you don't know where that comes from.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the process of making an album, we tallied it up and we're like, oh, actually, this all feels pretty dystopian. And it's not that we are necessarily depressed, but that's just kind of what came out. Like, oh, this feels dystopian, even though the music maybe doesn't, right? The music sometimes feels euphoric. And that's not by design. It's honestly not something that we sat down and be like, let's try to combine those two things and make a genius record. It's literally like the aim for us with this album is to see what is it that if we have no limitations, no dogma, what is it that's really inside of us?
But it does also help you guys, Dave, to set some parameters, right? I mean, the 2017 album from Dewe you made in one take, and this time around you decided it was going to consist of modular synths and live drums and tape machines and processed vocals, no guitars on this record.
Yeah, you're right that we tend to be quite extreme in putting limitations on ourselves because that's just the way it frees our mind. And it's not just musically, and it's also not just applicable to us. It's something we tend to do when we work with people as well. But in this particular case, the limitations that you refer to, like for example, no guitars, it's really something that we
were not aware of it.
It kind of happened by coincidence.
Yeah.
It's not that we said by design, oh, well, this has to be a no guitars rock album. It's just like there was a few songs where maybe it could have happened, but you know, the synth was there and it was plugged in and it's already patched and it's a nightmare to find the other thing. And turned out it was like in a warehouse, which is a 25-minute drive, and we couldn't find anyone in the car, so we just did it with a synth.
You finished this album and then turned around and went, oh, that's what we forgot to go get, guitars.
100%.
Yeah.
Because somebody heard it and then made a press release, and he was like, oh, it sounds a bit like a rock record. And Dave was like, wow, but we didn't really play, no, we didn't play any guitars. So it wasn't a conscious decision. But I think it's a good example because it kind of implicates how we made this record. And I think a lot of people see a lot of meanings and a lot of context in how we make it and how it looks and how it is. But a lot of it just came out of our subconscious. And in a way, that was an exercise we needed because everything else around us was people asking Dave and Steph, can you produce this or mix this or remix this or yeah, whatever.
And a lot of your career has been about the push and pull of working well with technology, though. It's creating this human machine music, and for you guys it's getting that razor-edged precision of people made playing, like working with the three drummers all playing in synchronicity to mimic and match up with those machines. That sort of seems to be the system that you work best under.
That's true, but I would maybe argue that the struggle with technology is there for everyone. No, I think every child to every old person has that struggle. It's just so prevalent in our lives right now. And the way we create our music, yes, there's that fine line that we walk between, is this machine doing what it should be? No, well, that makes it more interesting. Or is it more interesting if a person plays it? So that fine line that we constantly walk in whatever we do is there. But I would just argue that that struggle with technology, I just see it with 6-year-olds and I see it with 80-year-olds. We all have it.
But in terms of making music or making a record, it's sort of seeing how intricate and in sync you can get in making Soulwax songs without sacrificing that human touch.
Yeah, and sometimes it's actually trying not to sync too much. You know, it's a very thin line where, you know, you can have stuff that when things are slightly too correct, it's boring for us. And when they're slightly too off, out of sync, it sounds like chaos. So we have to find that line where it appeals to Steph and me. And why does that appeal to Steph and me is probably because a lot of the records what we grew up on were made with primitive technology. And it was a struggle for them as well. You know, like in stuff in the 70s or 80s, to get a drum machine synced to a synth or a drummer was a struggle as well. Whereas that could easily be fixed this day and age. But it's not the thing that our ears find interesting. And so quite often, our struggle is to find just that line where it's just badly enough played for us to find it interesting.
Well, this album nods a lot to those human errors, be they deliberate or accidental, in a lot of the lyrics. Steph, the song Run Free shrugs, play the wrong chord, say something stupid. And also, New Earth Time repeats the instruction, move out of phase, slightly out of sync.
Yeah, I think we always gravitated towards things that sound like that. It could be My Bloody Valentine, or I think when you play guitar, there's dissonance that happens sometimes when you make a chord. And also, I think everything is aligned to be perfect now. The technology and a lot of stuff, or the inclination is there. And I do think we come from a time where mistakes and failures sometimes turn out to be the best thing. I think Run Free, for example, is something that just came out. I just had it in my head and we just made that song really fast. And I think that was the way to make it as well, because it implicates what it says.
And it's also finding that joy in making that kind of music, isn't it? That song Run Free also repeats, I want to run free with the music. And it's celebrating that escapism you get from music, right?
Yeah, 100%. But also allowing it to be a big chorus. If it comes to Soulwax, allowing whatever we would come up with to exist, and to not retouch it or to
that's the thing.
Overthink it.
For me, there's a longing for a connection with music, which it's not just I want to run free with the music, but it's also like actually music is this sacred thing, which maybe in the time that we live in now, because it's so prevalent, it's just everywhere and we're constantly inundated by everything. It just has a different function than when you're a kid. I think there's this thing with being around music and living in a world where music has such a perhaps different value, because it's everywhere and it's free and it just doesn't have the same value. And the way I always interpreted the lyric was also that it was like, I want to go back to this place where music is the thing that I hold dearest. And that's easy to forget in this day and age.
Yeah.
And speaking of holding music sacred, you guys have also spent so much of the last few years working heavily on other artists' albums, released on your own label, Diwi. You've done the Charlotte Adigiri and Boris Pupil record. Then you did the Boris Pupil solo album, and this year the Marie Davidson album. And you had done that before for artists like Tiga and Das Pop. But what has that taught you about music making, working so intensely on other people's records the past few years?
So much. That it's a lot of psychology. That it's a lot just making sure that people can keep the momentum and maybe expand their horizons a little bit. And I think we've learned a lot from it. Sometimes it's frustrating, sometimes it's amazing.
The main thing that has taught us or shown us is the thing that we've talked about here as well, is that line between you and what you like, whatever that intuition,
whatever touches you.
Yeah, like whatever gives you goosebumps. That's the sacred thing that you need to protect at all times. That's the thing that you have to make sure that that is a straight line and not get diverted. So I think when we try to work with people, that's what we try to find. Yeah. Is like, what are we trying to say here? What is it really that makes this music unique to you as yeah. opposed to anyone else could be making it? So that means you have to try and make it not as cerebral as the time we live in. Like, a lot of things are considered. A lot of music or even visual stuff that comes out now, we see it or we hear it and we can hear the mood board where people like sat down in a meeting and like, oh yeah, let's aim for this and this.
I think this is a really important thing, because I think what Dave is trying to say is something we don't talk about between us, but it's this idea that if we like it, it has value for us. And we've noticed that whenever we like it, it seems to transcribe to other people. When we would try and play to the gallery, or like we try and please people or an audience, that's when we fail. A lot of artists are really great at, but we, it's just not our thing. And I guess it's refining more and more this idea that we should follow our, yeah, whatever that is. Yeah.
Keep following those instincts. Yeah, it is another incredible album from Soulwax, you guys, and it's so great to have it with us. And I know you like a challenge. When are you and James Murphy ever going to ship all the tons of equipment for your Despacio sound system all the way down here to Australia? It might have to come by sea. It'd take a long time to get here, but it needs to happen.
When he gets to do the big day out.
So I just have to get the big day out back in business and you'll bring it down.
Yeah, but I'm not joking. He's really, this is a conversation we've had with him a couple of times already. And clearly when the three of us have really dumb and stupid ideas, they sometimes happen. Look at Despacio.
Well, specifically, Despacio is a project that shouldn't really exist. It doesn't really make sense financially. And it only happens when people are crazy enough to make it happen.
To make it into a break even.
Yeah.
I mean, hopefully, it would be amazing. But it would be amazing to go and play with Soulwax or even have LCD as well.
Well, you know Australians are crazy, so we'll work on it.
Yeah, this really is a plan.
Good to hear. It was so great to finally touch base again with you, Dave and Steph. And we might have a listen to a song off the album on the radio right now. We'll play Polaris. This one has some great cathedral-sounding keys on it.
Nice.
Hopefully we'll see you back here in Australia at some point in whatever guise, with Despacio Sound System or Soulwax or Too Many DJs or everything all at once. But here you are now on Static with Polaris. Thanks for the chat, Dave and Steph.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.